My name is Melissa Pratt. I am the Senior Community Partnerships Manager for PetSmart Charities, and I manage our relationship nationally with Feeding America and with partners locally like Feeding Tampa Bay. They have been great partners of ours over the last 3 years since PetSmart Charities started and inaugurated Pet Hunger Awareness Day. At PetSmart Charities, we know that nearly 90 million people in the U.S. have pets. Of those, 30 million pets suffer from food insecurity. It's really simple. If you have a family that is facing food insecurity that has a pet, then you have a pet that is also facing food insecurity. We wanted to do something about that. So in 2023, we started what's called Pet Hunger Awareness Day. We joined forces with Feeding America, and during Hunger Action Month, we decided we wanted to shine a spotlight on the fact that pets are part of the family. And again, if you have a hungry family, you've got a hungry pet. So at the end of every September, we work with food banks like Feeding Tampa Bay and other food banks across the country to really highlight that aspect. Since we started distributing pet food and working with Feeding America and local organizations like Feeding Tampa Bay, we have distributed more than 420 million pet meals in this country. 1.9 million of those came to Feeding Tampa Bay alone. Those are staggering numbers, but we know that there is still a great need, which is why PetSmart Charities has committed to continuing to help feed pets in communities. Because again, no pet should be hungry, no family should suffer alone. And so we are here to help protect the entire family and the family bond. And that is why in 2025, we joined forces with Ty Pennington. He has an exceptional story and has always been very committed to and passionate about people and their pets. He too recently became a pet parent, and he celebrated that fact with us during Pet Hunger Awareness Day. So we are so excited that he has joined us for the Stick a Fork in It podcast to share his story.
All right, everyone, welcome back to Stick a Fork in It. We're so happy you're here. We're so happy to be talking with you. And something that's been on my mind lately, let's say, so my mom's dog just got like socks, like grippy socks, because he's been slipping around on the floor a lot. And I'm at my desk right now, and it's funny because I used to know he was coming because I would hear his claws on the floor. But now that he's in the socks, he like sneaks up on me, and it sounds like a person is like walking up behind my chair, and it always panics me. And it would just kind of make me think about like weird stuff that pets do. And I'm sure you guys have such great pets. I'm sure you have stuff like that too.
Well, I'm going to go first because I have a new thing that my little soul puppy is doing, Gunner. So I'm going to put this on the screen. Ev may do it a different way. It's so funny. But can y'all see that?
Bigfoot.
So it's a
Like
Bigfoot who has no stuffing left. But what he does is he sits him up around the house. So I get up in the morning. He's been sitting on the couch. He's been sitting up next to the wall with the food bowl. He's been sitting next to the doggy door, like he's contemplating going outside. I'm like, how does this dog? Clearly, it's intentional.
Maybe Bigfoot's doing it himself. He's walking over and taking a seat.
But seriously, if you guys, we all have experience with dogs. When you give them a toy and it has nothing left inside and it's so gross, I clearly either maybe these are signs. Please don't throw my little Bigfoot away. I'm not really sure. But that's the weirdest thing lately. There's always something. Thomas, what do you got?
Well, I don't know that I have, and welcome to 2026,
Oh
everybody.
yeah, happy new
Oh,
year.
yeah.
Right. I don't know that I have a weird story. I think the thing about pets for all of us is the place they occupy in our lives. And I think, the interesting part for anybody that has a pet, particularly if you're very close to them, they have their own personality, and you begin to have a life or conversation with that pet as if they animate that personality on a regular basis. Bella, my little dog, who you all know was rescued from the food bank, she and I are thick as thieves, but I talk to her as if I am talking to you right now. I ask her questions. I seek her opinion on matters. I ask her to look at things that I'm looking at. All of which she has the same expression, but I'm convinced on some level she and I are on the same wavelength.
For sure.
So the weird thing isn't really watching Bella, it's watching you do your thing
Well,
with
I don't
Bella.
know. You know, I often wonder if other people see you with your pet, and I guess so many of us have them, if people see you with your pet, what they think about you. Because for those of you that know me in the context of work, right, you have a particular sense of my persona. My persona with my dog is far different. Like the sun rises and sets on me with Bella and Bella with me.
Oh.
And so we're very close. I'm very, I'm the caretaker. She's my little girl. She follows me around everywhere. She's an inch within me, and it's so different from any part of my day. I'll get home at the end of the day, sit down and watch TV, and Bella's whole world is all, she just wants to be on me and with me. And I think it's such a, they're such a gift, and they allow you to find out what probably a different level of love means.
Yeah.
Now I agree with you on that, but then there's also a counterpoint to that. And and I'm just saying, like, so I have two small dogs and they're both rescues, and one's highly intelligent. I promise you, I think this dog speaks English because, or at least understands it. And then the other one is basically what I was like as a child, which is karma just coming back. Because you can't trust the dog when you leave because, like, literally, Phoebe has eaten a box of Q-tips. Like, why? Like, what is enjoyable about that? You know? And so then we have to wait to see if she's going to pass it. So it's like, so you can't even trust to leave the room for more than, 5 minutes, which makes it really difficult as a parent to even be able to go run errands. So, like, it's crazy how much the love, and they become so dependent on you that they just cannot have you leave. You know, this is coming from a guy who spent years like working on the road, like could barely keep a plant alive. You know, I'm pretty sure a cat left a letter that just said, "You suck," and
I'm
moved
out.
on. You know, and anyway, yeah, it's interesting, but those moments that you're with him, like that's just it. Like you just know that this is not only the best moment in their life, but it's also the best moment
Yeah.
in your life.
Yeah, and the thing that's so
And
amazing about pets is that they do, Shannon, going back to your little fella bringing his doll around, they have very specific wants, needs, and things that matter to them. And it's always fascinating to me to watch them express that. Right? I think that's the really cool thing about animals is they have something they want to achieve. There's interests that matter to them. And clearly to Gunner, having his little fella in different parts around the house is something that's important.
life.
Yeah, that's funny.
Well, you guys, in case you, I know you recognize the face and you recognize the voice, but what we didn't do is introduce Ty Pennington. We just went into talking. Ty, thank you so much for joining the show. We
Yeah,
became friends
welcome.
with you through PetSmart and our
Yes.
initiative together to make sure that families who are struggling, even those pets, which are part of the family, clearly, by the way, we're talking about our fur babies, which right now mine can hear you guys' voices and are going crazy. But that's what really what it's all about. And Ty, thank you for taking the time. We met you back in September, Hunger Action Month, during Pet Hunger Awareness Day. And how have you been? It's been a few months. We're stepping into a new year.
To answer your question, I've been great. I've been super busy, but because I follow you guys and I see like all these other people that were there that day, honestly, like everyone coming through down in Tampa, and not only meeting the people that are clearly in need, but also meeting the dogs and the other family members that are in the car. Like to me, that was just so awesome that you get to meet so many personalities, big and small. And it's funny how they're, territorial, but at the same time they're like, "Oh, is that a bag of food? Oh, I'm so sorry for being loud. Just throw it here in the back." So yeah, it's awesome to see community come together. And honestly, like I think there is like a great community whenever you rescue a dog from God knows what. Let's just leave it at that. But all of a sudden it becomes a family member. You can definitely see that there's so many other lives that are changed because of that. And so I love, and as your little one comes into the shot, yes, we know
Millie wants
exactly
to be
what
a
you're
part
talking
of
about.
this.
Yeah, and they become so needy, but like it's the best thing ever. It really is.
Well, when we last talked, my Libra brother,
Yes.
you have celebrated your, is it your first anniversary?
Oh no, it's got to be
Second.
my fifth. I'm pretty
Oh,
sure
your
it's
fifth
my fifth.
wedding anniversary?
I think, yeah, I think it was 2020. You know, you remember those years where it was like, yeah, it was either like stay or go because it was like, you're going to be in lockdown. And I decided to stay.
Oh, you know what? So I'm going to please tell your wife that when we talked and met, I see because of the way you talked about her, I thought it was you were newlyweds.
Oh,
yeah, which is impressive. It's also because I have really short-term memory loss. And so every year it feels like it's only new. Been 1 year. Yeah.
It's like 51st dates. That's really sweet.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So you have two adopted fur babies, right? Are they nearby? Yeah. Seeing as Gunner took a peek.
Yeah, but we also have, we have to rewire this electrical situation. And so because of that, we've got, you know, loud noises. They're back in the other room.
Okay.
So that I could have a little quiet.
Now, you're doing all the rewiring yourself, I assume? Yes? No?
I don't do electrical work. I learned that a long time ago on a show called Trading Spaces. And I'll tell you why. I was running an extension cord. We were probably somewhere near Seattle because this makes a lot of sense. And like, I'm set up in the cul-de-sac and it is raining nonstop. And like, so of course we're running extension cord out of, the garage, wherever the dryer is. And I'm looking and I see that, we've got an open box where we can plug many things in, but the water just keeps running and running, running. And I'm like, dude, like this was about to like send us all flying. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to mess with electrical. I'm going to leave that to somebody else just because I'll do all the framing. I'll do the finishing, but electrical just because, you know, you can end up 25 feet from where you're standing. I just, I leave that to somebody else.
Got it.
So what is it because of everything that you've posted, been involved with and all that, to Thomas's point, is there something inside your house that you, whether it's decor or whatever, that you like take the lead on? Or is it kind of like a chef who makes amazing food and his favorite thing to make is peanut butter sandwiches?
No, I would say I'm a hybrid, if you will. I mean, there's a lot of pieces that are in my house that I've custom made because even before I got on Trading Spaces, I was making custom furniture with a guy who went to Cooper Union. And so I was trying out different angles, which makes everything really difficult, actually, because people don't realize, especially people like me who thought, who's going to need mathematics? And then you go into carpentry and you're like, oh, right.
It's all mathematics.
Yeah, it's all mathematics. It's like pitches and angles. And then half of that angle is what's resting on the floor. But I like either creating some furniture or finding really something unique and then sort of customizing it. I'm not a fan of, I like to be involved. And I mean, that's good and bad probably sometimes, but I also know, like, if you're going to do something really custom, you just have to make sure, look, we did 245 houses in America with Extreme, right? And I designed a room in each one of them, but I wasn't there necessarily every day because I was doing two houses at the same time. So I'm really good at coming up with a plan that's precise, it's measured out, it's like, this should work, leaving it with that. And then sometimes, you know, hiring someone who's really good at doing it, but they have to be really good because I'm a big critique of everything. So yeah, I'm like a nightmare chef who's like, that's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, really? So I'm a little bit of both, but I also learned a long time ago, you can't come back into the room that you've had a lot of people helping you with and go, you know what? This actually looks good. And like, I said that for like a year and I realized, oh my God, like, it's like you expected us to absolutely fail. And then I was like, oh my God, what I meant was this looks amazing. However, the wallpaper is upside down, but it still looks great.
Right.
No one will know. No one will notice.
No one will know. Yeah.
Upside down. So there is this trend on, I believe it's on TikTok that I've seen. So your dogs are adopted. Mm-hmm. Thomas has a great story on how Bella came into his life. Did you guys choose them or did they choose you?
Oh, they definitely chose us. I'll talk to Phoebe because Dory was already Kelly's when I met her, but she was sort of stranded in Canada. But then Phoebe, we were following this pet rescue in Savannah because of Dory's situation. In fact, I guess she traveled in a cage in a truck, like from San Antonio to I'm not sure where, but she does not like traveling. Like, she's not a fan. She just shakes and like has mental breakdowns. And so being about, you know, being left or even traveling, when you hook up with a guy like me, that you basically have to take your family with you when you go on these, like, we had to drive all the way to Colorado from the East Coast to do Battle on the Beach. Rock the Block out there for a while. But anyway, so we were like, you know what, we need to find a companion for Dory. It'll just help. And so we were looking for somebody, you know, like a small dog. We didn't really care, like, what, we just needed a small dog in size. But then one came up that looked like it was very similar in style and color to Dory. And so we were like, yes. So we called, and then they're like, well, actually, that one has found a home, but there's a new one that just came in today. And we're like, oh, okay, well, we're just going to go and see. And then Kelly showed me a picture. Like, this is the one I'm talking about, because she was staying in the car with Dory to make sure Dory didn't lose it. And then I went in, and I texted Kelly. I was like, I think that her profile is, is wrong, because her head seems to be twice the size of the one in the photo. And so Phoebe had just come in. Like, she has this fur that goes around her head. And even though her head must be the size of like a lemon, but her head, like, it turns it into like a watermelon. And I'm like, I don't know what this is, but I was like, so, and Phoebe immediately sat on my lap and was basically like, you look like you might have snacks. And I, there was just a connection. And then I remember this, Kelly came in, and then we said, you know, we're going to give it a trial, you know, because you're supposed to give it like, you know, several weeks to make sure that it fits. And I remember Kelly going, we're not giving it a trial. And I was, and so I was like, yeah, okay. But yeah, it was like, she had a couple of sleepless nights because it was like, you know, a new environment. But after that, she just immediately became a member of the family. And those two now, like, literally cuddle when we leave. And so it's just kind of nice to see that. And they also look like they're sisters, even though they're from completely different backgrounds. But one, they're definitely like a, they're an odd couple, but they're also a little bit like a, I forget. Well, basically, it's like Fred and Barney, you know, which is a, you know, a modern, yeah. Is it even a modern version of the fat guy and the skinny guy? Because it goes back to Abbott and Costello, you know, yeah. Which like, now I'm like, oh, you're that old.
Three of us relate. Yeah. One main one.
Flintstones.
Right. But anyway, they really complement each other now. And Dory's like the well-behaved one, but also super needy, and Phoebe's the one, like, I don't, you know, dude, this, I love a good car ride. I'm literally snoring, you know, but meanwhile, she's the one that will eat anything, like, including Q-tips, if you leave the room without, like, you know, parental guidance. So, you know, it's fun because they really do. And I don't know if this is true, but it feels like small dogs have like a more dynamic personality than larger dogs. Because like, I grew up with Basset Hounds, and trust me, I love them, but they're, you know, they're sort of like, yeah, I've got food on my ears, but you know what I mean? Like, because they drag their ears everywhere. But I don't know if their personality comes out as such a dynamic character as small dogs. It's wild that maybe there's something to that. I don't know. Anyway, but then again, you know, Australian Shepherds also have some pretty dynamic personalities. But I just wonder if size has, does Andre the Giant have not a great personality like somebody smaller? I don't know.
You just have to pack more into the smaller space so it feels bigger.
That's what it is. It's condensed. Yeah. It's condensed.
I think smaller dogs have to have different coping skills, right? They have different pressure in their world. They probably have to be smarter than the rest to make sure that they make it through, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Now, let me really quick, and then we'll move into to what you're doing now professionally. How is Dory traveling? Is she traveling better because she now has a sister, or is it still mayhem when you got to put her in the car?
Yeah, she's definitely traveling better now that she has a sister. But at the end of the day, she doesn't really come to life until you get out of the vehicle and into whatever dwelling it is. You know what I mean? Like, she just has to be out of that movie car. She does not want to get back into it the next day. If you're doing like a 3-day road trip, she is not a fan. But yeah, she's, yeah, but I mean, she's one of those people, like, she's definitely a creature that finally finds happiness when everybody is home from traveling, everybody is on the couch or in the bed, and everybody, like, is where they should be. And it just makes you realize, like, that's what family is. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
run into your dog wanting to go to bed before you, that they'll get down and, like, start to head into the bedroom, like, hey, yeah, it's time.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And, like,
and you're like, we're not going
wow
to bed yet. And they're like, no, we got to go. We need to go to our, right.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I'm like, wow. It's pretty impressive. Like, they're like, don't you have to work tomorrow? I'm like, yeah, what are you talking about? Like, I guess I just, but yeah, they're, yeah. But then Phoebe, I think, was probably on the other side, which is like, you know, hey, I'm meeting up this biker gang down the street. You got, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, but she's, so yeah, you've definitely got two different personalities going on there, but I love that. I love the contrast, which I think it should be. I think that's what every member of the family should be, is absolutely different. So, but yeah, they're the best.
Yeah. You're explaining why I have four dogs.
Right. And you will probably have more. Like, is four your max? How are you? See, that's just it. Like, in some living situations, like New York City, like, two is your max. Like, yeah. I don't know. But I do see people coming out of buildings with like four or five dogs. I'm like, wow. I don't know what
you're
paying.
He has to be a walker.
Yeah.
He has to be a dog walker. I can't imagine. So, Thomas, take it away.
So, Ty, you know, this is, as you know, we have a few questions we wanted to ask you, but one came to mind when you were talking about this, and I was thinking about you living in New York City. What's important to you in your own home? So, like, what are the things, you know, when you think about your space, and all of us would agree that, you know, and you've done this for a lot of folks, space is sacred, right? It has its there are reasons why it's important in your life, right? Why the spaces that you inhabit, you know, I'm an early riser, and every morning, you know, my morning starts in my office, and it is my space, and it's, you know, Bella's got her little bed there, and I have the things that matter to me, right? When you think about having been in so many homes and built so many homes for other people, like, what's sacred to you in the space that you inhabit, you and your wife? Like, what do you look for? And what are the comforts or things that you say, you know, this matters to me in my own home?
Well, I think that's a really great question. And I think a lot of the times, I've been in a lot of homes because I'm there to sort of help them. But the one thing I notice a lot is that you'll walk into somebody's home and you're not struck by personality. You're struck by white drywall or a pretty sterile picture frame of a generic, you know, who knows, forest or anyway, just there's not a lot of immediate understanding of who this person is. And so I love to walk in the front door, and whether it's, you know, a bunch of albums that have been put next to each other, so you kind of have an idea that somebody's into a certain style of music, whether it's a pair of dancing shoes that are hanging off a hook, there is a fishing rod, there is a guitar, there is anything that sort of says, oh, okay, I'm starting to get a glimpse of who this person is. But I think it's also, when you walk in, you want to feel this softness. For me, like, I want to feel like the place has already been lived in. Now, look, I've been doing design and obviously married somebody who's good at it as well, where, you know, that's what we do. It was like, okay, we've collected like these items from certain trips. And I think, you know, there's something about having older items that have already lived a life in your home that sort of make it softer, that give it a story. And I think when you walk into a brand new home that's just been painted and drywalled, it's sterile, doesn't have a story yet. And so it as much as we also say you don't want to clutter your house too much, it is the things that, like, books and things that tell the story of where you've been and the things you've sort of captured along the way also make it your home. It also, you know, it's those things. It's like the old chairs that you found a super great deal on, even though they're just Italian wedding chairs that you found for $8. But they, you know, you remember being there, or the one design item that, like, when you finally made some money, like I bought an Eames chair, you know, the, you know, I was like, dude, I've been waiting on this my whole life. Yeah, I'm like, right. I'm getting this leather chair. It's those kind of things that you're like, okay, this is me. This is who I am. You know, and I'm a kid who grew up in the 70s, man. So, like, I have to have a room that's got a stereo that's, you know, tubes and it's warm, and I put headphones on if I have to. But, like, just because, you know, when you grow up, I had jazz musician dads. And so, like, the idea of having sound, especially like a room for that, is absolutely important to me. So I think that's what it is. But recently, when people have said, what do you want to see or feel when you walk into a home? Now it's the sound and the smell of small creatures, because, like, I think it's the, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if family or children have ever been that way to me. When you walk in, they're like, oh my God, I've been missing you all day. It's like, oh, hey, would you mind bringing over the, you know, peanut butter? right. Instead of, like, you know what I mean? It's like the unbridled, absolute devastation that you've been gone for 2 hours. No other creature
or 10 minutes. They don't know the difference.
Or 10 minutes make you feel like you are loved in that way. Yeah. And so honestly, like, I think it's that, like, I don't know if I'll ever live without, in my home, like, a small creature. I know I'll probably take a year or two and finally travel, 'cause I'll be able to leave the house. But, but I think we'll always come back to that, because, like, honestly, now I understand what being a parent is. Like, it's the sound of laughter and, you know, people running up and down the stairs, except this time it's a bunch of smaller feet.
Well, for anybody that's ever had the awful, awful circumstance to lose a pet, you can feel since when you walk in the home, the air is more still.
Yeah.
Right. There's that sense of the place that they inhabited spiritually in your home, and you can just feel that it's that they're gone.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. You know, it's just it's which leads to a question for you. You have had incredible success across the different things you've, you know, had your hand in, as you said, made a difference in a lot of homes in the United States. But the opportunity to lend your name, your time, and your commitment to PetSmart Charities, how did that come into your world, and why was that important to you? You've talked about your love of animals, and I certainly do get that. But what said to you, hey, I want to make sure that I become an ambassador for the partner that I think is really important in something that's important to me, but also to a lot of other folks?
I mean, honestly, I think it's this. Anybody who has ever, I mean, God, man, I don't want to go into the sad things that I've seen because of the stories we've helped. But let's just put it this way. Any family member who's ever had to, you know, put down their pet or whatever you call it, because of food insecurities or because they can no longer, you know, have that pet for some reason, but that disconnect, it's like having a child that you have to just leave with some other person. But I also see, like, how important it is as we age, right? There's so many senior citizens that, you know, start to sort of lose a little bit of grip on reality, but they can still connect with a little creature. And so I think for me, just seeing what PetSmart Charities does, you know, and not only trying to save the lives of so many pups, but it's also about really enhancing our lives, because when you do all of a sudden find that little furry friend, they are there for you and you alone. Like, they have no other person in their life. I just think there's so many people that are lonely that don't have a friend. And I think there's so many pets that are sitting in a cage wanting to be that friend to so many. And so when you see that, you're like, oh my God, we've got to help spread the word so people don't go out and buy from a breeder or whatever. It's like, there's so many people, like, those little furry friends just want to be loved, you know? And so
Shannon roped us into a volunteer event over at the local pet shelter. And so you go in there if you've ever done that, and they give you different responsibilities if you're a volunteer. And mine was walking dogs.
Okay.
And you would walk past, they would say, go walk dog in cage number, you know, 8. And here's where cage number 8 is. But you will have to walk through, walk by 1 through 7. And the folks in 1 through 7 are looking at you like, hey, I'm a good guy. Is it my time? Like, hey, come on. And I felt awful the entire time I was there. I don't know how people volunteer at places like that. I think they are superhuman, incredibly gifted, wonderful people that can do that. But you're right. Those folks, those little things that come into our world, we have this either implied or direct promise to say we're going to look after each other. And, you know, to the specific point that you made, we started giving pet food out a few years ago when we realized seniors were having to choose between feeding themselves or feeding their pets. And all of us on this call, right, every single one of us, who are we going to choose? The pet. And the idea that PetSmart is doing this and you're lending your brand to this helps us all tell the story that these little things are a really important part of our family. And as you said a moment ago, a really important part of our house. And I think all of us are really glad this is what you chose and what you want to do, which leads me to one other question that's kind of associated with this. So you get involved in PetSmart charities and you think, okay, I'm going to promote, you know, the love and care and support of these little creatures in our homes, but you end up at a food bank. And so what's your impression of being at food banks? What have you taken from that? You were out at one of our distributions here on campus. I think you've done that in other places. What's been that? How has that laid upon you after reflecting on doing that with organizations like ours?
Well, I mean, look, it's there's so much need in the world, and especially a lot of times, a lot of people don't realize how much need there is in the United States. That I think the numbers people hear and they're like, what? How's that possible that there's so many people going hungry? But I think what's so fantastic that if you do the research, if you look, not only can you find places like Feeding Tampa in your neighborhoods, but you can also find people that want to volunteer and help, which is what your whole group is all about. And that's the thing, man, is I think just like the energy that we would find when we built houses for people is when you come out and you volunteer to help somebody you may not even know. Like what I loved about Extreme is that it created a snowball that continued after we left that they're like, you know what? I really enjoyed working with it. I didn't even know Susan until this event. And then next thing you know, we've left, the cameras have gone, and they're helping out old man Jones, who's a veteran who needs a ramp, and they're doing it on their own because they enjoyed that moment of working together and making their community better. And I think when you find out, nobody's going to tell you that they're going hungry. No one's going to tell you that they need food. Like, you have to understand that if you go and help and you say that if you need food, come to this address at this time and it will be there. Like, the line went on forever when I was down there helping you guys, and it just makes you realize especially, I think we all start to think about it around the holidays, and I don't know why, but I guess in the hot summer, you don't think about it, but there are people that are going hungry every day. And so, and that brings up the other thing before we get past the dogs, those senior dogs that are aging out and nobody wants them. Nothing rips my heart out more than knowing you're passing up an old dog who's maybe only got 1 or 2 years left. And the heroes in my book are the ones that say, you know what, I'm going to make that dog's last year the best in its life. And and I think if you've got that kind of compassion for humanity, it spills over into pets as well. But I think that's exactly what it is. There are humans out there that need our love and need sometimes a helping hand with food, because let's face it, it's getting harder. And what I've learned is if you wait for somebody else, to help bring you, or, you know, you remember government cheese? Like, an old lady used to bring me government cheese when I was in art school. And I was like, and she actually helped me get through art school, because, and that was something that someone was given to her. So I think, I think it's so important to help somebody in need. And so many people forget that, like, there are families, there are people going hungry every day in America.
And it should, and it shouldn't be, you know. I think Shannon has a, we have a question we always like to ask folks, but I just want to say, you know, you said that this at the start, and in some ways, if you're to look at a thread throughout your career, we obviously researched you before we asked, got together with you today, wanting to understand your journey. The word that kept coming up over and over again, and you used it right at the start, was community. And you've helped build a whole lot of community, whether it's inside of a home, whether it's inside of a literal community, or today in the pet community. But I think it's been really important for us to hear from you how important community is, and remind us all that we have an obligation to make the communities we're in better for us being in them. So thank you for that reminder today. We sure appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys, for real.
Yeah. So our time has almost come to a close. We kind of ask this question at the end of every show. If you could gather three other people with you at a table, they could be here, they could be not, they could be someone you know or don't, for conversation and for a meal, who are the people, what is your topic, and what are you eating?
Oh, my God. wow.
We've had all kinds of answers to this, Ty. We have had people that had Babe Ruth and the Pope at the same table. We have had all kinds of, right?
I'm just going to say John Lennon, because as a kid, I was obsessed with this guy. And then he was taken. And it's funny, he had a feeling that something like that would happen, because he trusted even the most down and out, because that's what you do. Like, you've got to give everyone a chance. I think because of his humor, because of his mind, because of his creativity, also a Libra, by the way. But I think also because he used his platform to show awareness to so many things and to try and make a difference. At the same time, you know, he also was really good friends with Peter Sellers, who also, you know, was one of the funniest human beings ever. I think just having the guy at the table would be fun, because you could get into a deep conversation about lots of things, but you could also probably laugh the hardest you've ever laughed. And then on the other end of that, I think it would have to be a woman, and it would have to be like a really strong, badass woman. And there are several. I don't know who to mention, but
you're going deep on this.
I know. I just think, you know what, let's just make it
that's your personality.
Yeah, but you know what'd be great? I mean, you know, it'd be fun, Margaret Thatcher, just to see what would happen. And then maybe the chef is actually Julia Childs, but played by what's his name on SNL when he played her, when he cut
Dan
his
Aykroyd.
Hands.
Yeah, oh, when Dan Aykroyd did. Yeah.
Dan Aykroyd. Uh-huh. That would be fun. Yeah. So maybe there'd be several more guests just to complete the table. But I think, you know, humor would be clearly involved. I think laughter is the cure for everything. And I think we need more of that in the world. But I think what makes us happy is finding love, whether it be in an adopted pet, in a human being, in a community. But the more time we spend doing positive things with each other, I think the more secure we are in making jokes about how horrible the world can be. And I think that's the cure. I think spending time laughing instead of crying, even though sometimes you can laugh so hard you start crying, which is also good. Lord knows I've been right there. But I think those would be the people at the table. And who knows, we would maybe create a new dish that, you know, we would.
A potluck,
yes.
Bring your own. Julia's going to kill it, just so you know.
Yeah. I can imagine her cocoa fan would be in.
Yes. Yes. Well, Ty, friend, thank you so much. It's been so wonderful to get to know you. And thank you for taking the time to come on Stick a Fork in It. We appreciate all that you do. And know that pretty much everything you have done is because you really care about people, and that they're able to have what they need. And now, of course, pets too, because they're part of the family. Thank you so much.
Have a great 2026.
Yes.
You guys.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.